And nothing's clear, but I can hear the sound of you. It only gets stronger.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome into the house of the Lord today. It's great to see you. Come on, let's stand together. Let's get ready to praise the Lord. Are you excited to be here? I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I know we have a lot of folks watching us online also. If you're watching us at home on the web, we just want to remind you that we are celebrating the Lord's Supper today. We're going to be having communion later, so we just want to invite you to get ready for that with maybe some juice and cracker. Just get ready to celebrate communion with us in a little bit. But right now, we're going to celebrate the Lord. We're going to thank Him for His victory. Are you ready to praise Him together? Come on, let's worship Jesus.
Into your glorious day. God, you're the life in our bones. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you that we are struck down but not destroyed. Amen. We have our victory in you. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There is victory in your name, Jesus. Grace of the Savior, with the heart of the Father, you're all we need. You're here with the hands of the healer, with the power of your Spirit, you're all we need. At the mention of your name, at the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and wave. Just the whisper of your name
with silence, wind, and waves at the mention of your name.
Thank you.
shout to him. Come on, give him one more shout of praise in his house. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. We worship your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Why don't you take a few moments before you're seated, greet some friends nearby, maybe give them an air wave or an air high five or something in the love of Jesus, and then you can be seated.
Well, God bless you. Good morning, everyone. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. It is so amazing to see you this morning. We're so glad that you're here for worship. Welcome to Harvest Time Church and Suntan Parlor during the months of June, July, and August. Just want to let the folks that are sitting in the sunny seats know, if the sun gets a little bit too much for you, please feel free at any point in the service to just get up and adjust your seat. Want to let our friends on the patio know, if you're happy on the patio, that's fantastic. If you'd like to sit in the sanctuary, there's plenty of room. And so everybody wave to the folks out on the patio. Would you just give them a little wave out there? And if you want to come in, you're welcome to come in. About a week and a half ago, I snagged a haircut. I won't tell you how I did that, but I know a guy. And I have to tell you, it never felt so good in my whole life to get a haircut. And you know what? It never felt so good in my life to be in church together this morning. It's just amazing. We want to say a huge thank you for your faithful financial support of Harvest Time during this shutdown. I have to tell you the truth, if you had told me in March that we would be shut down for 11 weeks and only doing services online, I would not have believed that we could have financially survived that. But I have to say that you have been so faithful. The Lord has been so faithful. We haven't missed a beat, and we give all glory to God for that. Some of you who were not giving online previously have started giving online at htchurch.com. You can give anytime by going to our website, and there's a giving link at the top of the homepage. Some of you have started giving by text, something new during the shutdown. You can give by text by texting htchurch to 73256. That information is on the screens. I think you'll find it in your bulletin. Many of you have been mailing in offerings, and we want to thank you so much. We are not going to pass offering plates through the sanctuary this morning because of social distancing. So if you did bring an offering with you this morning, there are offering receptacles at all the entrances, and you can find one of those, and you can just put your offering in on your way out of the sanctuary today. Want to say a huge welcome to everybody who is joining us online. For the last 11 weeks, I have been staring into the camera on the back wall, and we're glad that you're worshiping with us online today. We are going to have communion at the very end of this service, so if you're watching at home and you haven't prepared communion, you might want to run into the kitchen real quick and just get a cracker and a little bit of juice and be ready for communion at the end of the service today. There's an outline of today's sermon. It's available, a PDF link is available in the chat section of the live stream. You can click on the link and download a sermon outline. If you're here in the sanctuary, you have the sermon outline, you got it on the way in. I just have to say a quick hello to the very newest member of Harvest Time. Our friends Antonio and Michelle Sandolo are here with beautiful Valentina. Just stand up and show off beautiful Valentina to us, would you? Welcome our newest member, Valentina. She's absolutely beautiful. Congratulations, Antonio and Michelle. And I think she looks a lot like her mama, her beautiful mama. So God bless you and congratulations. We're going to talk for a little bit about how God uses little things in big ways. In the book of Genesis, Joseph was little in a number of different ways. He was a little brother. He was number 11 out of 12 brothers. He was a teenager, just 17 years old, when his older brothers sold him into slavery. He was a foreigner in Egypt. He was a slave. He then became a prisoner. All of those things made Joseph little in the eyes of the world, but God used Joseph to do big things for his family, for the whole country of Egypt, and in fact, for the entire Middle East. Normally, we would read this story together from Genesis chapter 40, but today I thought maybe we could just listen to it instead. So I want you to take a look at the screens and let's listen to the story of Joseph in prison in Egypt.
Hey, Kellen.
Hey, guys.
It's Bible story time with Kellen.
Hey, Kellen, what's our story today?
Today, we're talking about Genesis chapter 40 and the story of Joseph in jail. Mm. And in order to help tell the story, I've recruited the ever so helpful So-and-So Show players. So, in case you haven't listened to the musical, I'll catch you up. Joseph has had a rough go at it. His brothers almost killed him, then sold him into slavery. After that, he was in a house of a powerful man named Potiphar. The whole time, God was with Joseph and brought him great success right up until he was accused of something he didn't do and was thrown in jail. Fortunately for Joseph, he isn't in there alone. There are two other people who were thrown in jail by Pharaoh. Pharaoh's official wine taster,
un lait de fromage,
and his baker.
Wow! Mamma mia!
That night, they slept. And in the morning, the baker and the wine taster each told Joseph they had dreams.
You too.
Yes, what a coincidence.
If only there was somebody who had the power to interpret dreams.
Yes, someone maybe who has been blessed with God's power. Have you been blessed with God's power?
Only God knows what dreams mean, but I believe he'll help me with yours. All right. Okay, come on, wine taster. Hit me with your best shot. Let's go.
There was a van that appeared in front of me with three branches. As soon as they budded, they flowered. The bunches of ripe grapes grew on them. Pharaoh's cup appeared in my hand, and I grabbed those grapes and I squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup. I gave the cup to the Pharaoh, and then le fin. That's French for the end.
The three vines mean 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will let you out of prison and give you your old job back. And then you'll put the cup in Pharaoh's hand just like you used to.
Congratulations!
Remember me when things are going well for you, huh? Speak to Pharaoh about me and getting me out of this prison.
Okay, me next.
Baker, what's your dream?
Okay, dreamer, all right, here we go. All right, so I got these baskets on top of my head, right? And they got a bread in them, but there's three baskets, right? 1, 2, 3. All right, and the top of basket, it's got the best bread for the Pharaoh. However, we got these birds that have been flying around and eating the bread out of the basket. Okay, so what does it mean, huh? What does it mean? What do I get, huh? Do I'm either gonna be the king baker man or the special baker man, you know, like a real big house, maybe a little pool, huh?
No, not really.
Okay, that's all right. Smaller house, smaller pool, all right. Just tell me, huh?
Joseph told the baker what his dream meant, that the Pharaoh was to have him killed. Three days passed, and everything Joseph said had come to pass. The wine taster was back with the Pharaoh, and the baker was put to death. However, the wine taster didn't remember to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. In fact, he forgot all about him. The end. Great job. Let's give a big round of applause to our so-and-so show players.
That's a pretty sad story, Kellen.
A lot of stories are sad if you end them in the middle. Sometimes things don't make sense. Think about it. Think about Joseph stuck in jail when he didn't do anything wrong. Or think about Jesus, who was perfect, yet he felt more pain than any of us could imagine. Even you. Maybe something sad happens to your family. Or you get a bad grade on a test, even though you know you studied for it. When things just don't click, you can always count on God. He's going to be there. In fact, he's always been there alongside you, even when nothing else in your world makes sense.
Thanks, Kellen. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye, man.
In an Egyptian prison dungeon, Joseph held on to his faith in God. He told the royal cupbearer and baker, the interpretation belongs to the Lord. You know, when you think about Joseph's circumstances, that was really a very powerful statement of faith. Joseph had faith that God owned the interpretation to the dreams of his two prison mates, but Joseph also in the dungeon had faith that God still owned the interpretation to his own dreams. When Joseph was just a boy, God made a promise to him through two dreams at night. But the interpretation of those dreams belonged entirely to God. The details of just how those dreams would play out belonged to God. The long and winding road that would eventually lead to the fulfillment of those dreams belonged to God. The ultimate meaning and purpose belonged to God. Yes, Joseph's brothers and even his father would bow down to him, but the purpose of it was to save all of their lives. In the meantime, Joseph would bear a very heavy burden on their behalf. That was something that Joseph never expected. Can I tell you the same is true for us? As believers in Jesus, we are all recipients of great and precious promises that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. As individuals, we're recipients of personal promises that God makes to us by the Holy Spirit. God puts personal dreams in our heart. Some of us have had literal dreams at night from him. I certainly have. But the interpretation of those dreams belongs to the Lord. How our story plays out, how God fulfills his promises, are entirely up to him, and they are only known by him, and we have to trust him in the meantime. Looking at Joseph, I want to share a few thoughts with you about how God uses little faith in big ways. How God uses little faith in big ways. If you like, you can use the sermon outline you received on the way in, fill in the blanks, and follow along. How God uses little faith in big ways. First of all, believe that God is with you even when things go from bad to worse. Believe God is with you even when things go from bad to worse. You know, from the moment that Joseph had his two dreams, everything started to go downhill. Joseph's brothers were insulted by his dreams. Even his father, who loved him very much, was insulted. Joseph's brothers hated him so much that they threw him down into a pit. They planned to kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery, and so down to Egypt went Joseph. In Egypt, Joseph was bought by Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And for a while, things started looking up for Joseph. Everything Joseph touched turned to gold, so Potiphar put him in charge of everything in his house except for Potiphar's daily menu. That's an interesting little detail in Genesis chapter 39, verse 6, and we'll come back to that. Everything was looking good, but there was a problem. Mrs. Potiphar, even though she was married, she liked young Joseph. Joseph kept trying to dodge her, but she cornered him. Joseph ran away, but she grabbed his coat and she ripped it right off of him. Mrs. Potiphar was angry that Joseph didn't like her back, so she held up his coat and made up a lie that he tried to harm her. Potiphar is seething with anger, so he throws Joseph in a dungeon in the basement of his own house. And Joseph is there for a very long time, probably about 10 years. Since Potiphar was the captain of the guard, his house was connected to a military complex, and that complex included a dungeon for special political prisoners, enemies of Pharaoh. Three times, Genesis mentions that Joseph was imprisoned in Potiphar's house. So I want you to think about this. For 10 years, Joseph suffered directly under the feet of the woman who falsely accused him and the boss who wrongly convicted him. Joseph was once the supervisor over that whole house, and now he has to suffer the indignity of being a prisoner under the house. The entire time, Mrs. Potiphar knew that Joseph was suffering beneath her feet, and Joseph knew that she was gloating over his head. You want to talk about being crushed under the enemy's feet. You know, it seems like everything in 2020 has gone from bad to worse. The year started out actually pretty good, but then news of the coronavirus started spreading in late January and in February. Nobody would have believed that by the end of March, our entire country would be shut down. Nobody would have predicted the loss of jobs, the heartbreaking loss of thousands of lives. In January, nobody thought that they'd be emailing the church in June to find out if they have to wear a mask to worship after we've been shut down for 11 weeks. This Tuesday, our twins, Ben and Maddie, will graduate from Greenwich High School along with a bunch of our other HTC students. It's going to be a drive-by graduation ceremony. I'm sorry for them, and I'm sorry for all of the high school and college graduates this year. And now we're dealing with the social upheaval following the merciless murder of George Floyd, and nobody has an answer for it. You know, the only answer the world has for injustice is more injustice. The only answer the world has for a lack of peace is less peace. The only answer the world has for oppression is more oppression. The only answer the world has for the loss of innocent life is more loss of innocent life. But God has an answer, and it's Jesus Christ, his Son, and his cross. Can I tell you, even nature is in an uproar. Heard about the Japanese murder hornets on the West Coast. In Texas, this is a true story. In Texas, these highly venomous dragon snails, they're bright blue, have been washing up on the beach. They have the same venom that the man-o-war jellyfish have in them. Pastor Nick sent me the true story of some lab monkeys in India who escaped from a lab with vials of coronavirus samples. I've been keeping in touch with our beloved friend Pastor Solomon in New Delhi. India has been suffering terribly under the shutdown, and then a cyclone wreaked havoc in the south, and on the winds of the cyclone came this biblical plague of locusts that are eating everything up. Saw a story in the news last week that there is an asteroid the size of the Empire State Building hurtling towards Earth. I texted Pastor Nick. I said, please tell me it's not true. He said, it's true, but don't worry. It's going to be a near miss. It's going to be 13 times further away than the moon. So just put your mind at ease with that one. You know, in times like these, all we can do is trust that God is still with us. Four times in Genesis chapter 39, it says God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph when his brothers stripped him of his fancy coat. God was with Joseph when they threw him into the pit. God was with Joseph when they sold him to the Midianites. God was with Joseph when he went down to Egypt. God was with Joseph when Mrs. Potiphar stripped him of his second coat. God was with Joseph when he went down into the dungeon, the second pit. Yes, things went from bad to worse, but God was with Joseph the entire time. And can I tell you that the same is true for us? Even when everything seems to be going down, 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 God has not forsaken us. God has not revoked his promises. God has not changed his mind about us. God has not withdrawn the dreams. When things are going from bad to worse, may we find the faith of Joseph to say, God, I don't understand your ways. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But the interpretation belongs to you. So in spite of these trials, I trust you are still with me. How God uses little faith to accomplish big things. First, believe that God has not forsaken you. Second, here's another thought. Believe that God's light in you is stronger than the darkness in the darkest places. Believe that God's light in you is stronger than the darkness in the darkest places. You know, Joseph is the only man in the book of Genesis who is described as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Potiphar did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but when he met Joseph, he knew that God was with Joseph. The prison warden didn't know God, but when he met Joseph, he knew God was with Joseph. Pharaoh didn't know God, but when he met Joseph, he said, "Can we find anyone else like this man? The Spirit of God is in him." Listen, as God's interpretation unfolds in your life, you will meet all kinds of people who don't know God, but when they meet you, they will know that God is with you. I want to share a few thoughts about shining light in the darkest places, shining God's light in the darkest places. First of all, don't surrender to sensuality. Don't surrender to sensuality. Egypt was entirely given over to sensuality. We see it in Potiphar. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything in his house except choosing his daily menu. Potiphar was a foodie. He was content to let Joseph run all of his business just as long as Potiphar could eat whatever he liked, whenever he liked. Maybe as captain of the guard, Potiphar was on keto. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to keep himself in peak physical condition. Maybe he obsessed over his body like so many people do today. Whatever the case, his food was more important to him than all the rest of his business affairs. And then there's Mrs. Potiphar. She was interested in other household affairs. Someone said it this way: she is the real slave in this story, captive to her own appetites. And then we discover that Pharaoh is a foodie as well. After one bad meal, he threw the royal cupbearer and the royal baker into the dungeon. But Joseph refused to surrender to sensuality. When Mrs. Potiphar began making her advances, Genesis 39:10 said Joseph refused to even be around her. He didn't linger even for a second to listen to her propositions. Joseph refused sensuality because he knew God was with him. Even if Potiphar never knew the truth, God knew the truth. Joseph said, "How can I sin against God?" You know, in the Bible, Egypt is a symbol for the world. It's a symbol for fallen human society without God. And it's true, the world is still just as full of Potiphar's and Mrs. Potiphar's and Pharaoh's as it ever was. But if we believe God is with us, we won't surrender to sensuality. Few thoughts about shining God's light in the darkest places. Don't surrender to sensuality. Here's another thought: stay sensitive to opportunities to minister to others. Stay sensitive to opportunities to minister to others. The prison warden immediately recognized that God was with Joseph, so he put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. Into the prison come two high-profile prisoners from Pharaoh's palace, the cupbearer and the baker. These two men were entrusted with the life of Pharaoh. They ensured that no one poisoned Pharaoh's food and no one poisoned Pharaoh's drink. And Joseph, listen, Joseph is assigned to wait on these two men for a very long time. How wise is God? Think about this. Joseph didn't know it yet, but Joseph's final destination was Pharaoh's palace. So God puts Joseph with the two men on earth who stand the closest to Pharaoh. They knew Pharaoh's likes and Pharaoh's dislikes. They knew all of Pharaoh's idiosyncrasies. They knew his pet peeves. They knew how and when Pharaoh likes to conduct business. They knew how to behave in Pharaoh's presence. So listen, in the dungeon, Joseph earns a bachelor's degree in Pharaoh's court while he is serving these two men. One day, Joseph notices that his friends aren't right. He notices that their countenances are downcast, and he asks them, what's the matter? I want you to look at how sensitive Joseph is in a harsh environment. Who would notice someone having a bad day in a dungeon? Every day is a bad day in a dungeon. Hey, cupbearer, hey, baker, what's wrong with you guys today? What's wrong with us? We're in prison, you mope. But Joseph noticed something was up, and he took the opportunity to minister to them. Listen, that says so much about Joseph. Listen, this is good right here. Joseph wasn't eaten up with bitterness. He wasn't consumed with self-pity. He wasn't preoccupied with his own plight. He was open to being used by God to bless somebody else, even while he was in a dungeon. That's good right there. Few thoughts about shining God's light in the darkest places. Don't surrender to sensuality. Be sensitive. Third, this is good. It keeps getting better. Believe that the Holy Spirit in you is more powerful than people's false spirituality. Believe that the Holy Spirit in you is more powerful than their false spirituality. It's only the second. You know, I haven't done three services in a row in a long time. I haven't even done live services in a long time. Thank you, Jesus. The cup bearer and the baker were down because they both had a dream and there were no Egyptian dream interpreters to tell them the meaning. The Egyptians believed that the gods communicated in dreams. They believed that a pair of dreams meant that it would surely come to pass. And they had interpreters that had books that explained the meaning of all the symbols in dreams. But in prison, these two didn't have access to a dream interpreter. Now listen, this is so good. Joseph could have said to himself, you know, their spirituality is different from my spirituality, so I'm not going to interfere. They believe differently from me, so I'm not going to bother them with what I believe. They're into spooky stuff, so I'm not going to tell them about holy stuff. But instead, Joseph says, interpretation belongs to God. Tell me your dreams, boys. Joseph believed that the power of the Holy Spirit in him was more powerful than the false spirituality of the Egyptians. He believed God could use him right there on the spot in a dungeon. He believed that the cupbearer and the baker would receive the touch of God through him. He believed this is good. Listen, this is good. He believed that God was just as much in control of their destinies as God was in control of his destiny. That's good. Listen, we need that kind of bold faith too. We need bold faith that believes that God is just as much invested in the destinies of unbelievers as he is invested in our destiny. We need the bold kind of faith that believes that the Holy Spirit in us is more powerful than any kind of weird spirituality that people might be involved with. Listen, people sit folded like pretzels for hours trying to find peace, and they think we're the weird ones. The Holy Spirit can use us, and he will. We need that kind of bold faith that says, you know, I notice you're not quite yourself today. Is everything okay with you? Can I say a prayer for you? And then the Holy Spirit will direct us in exactly how to pray for that person that meets their need and opens their heart to Jesus. Few thoughts about shining God's light in the darkest places. Don't surrender to sensuality. Stay sensitive. Believe the Holy Spirit in you is powerful. This is good. I like this one right here. Serve the dreams. I'm about to preach myself happy right now. Serve the dreams of others, even if it doesn't seem to serve any purpose at the moment. Serve the dreams of others, even if it doesn't seem to serve any purpose. Listen, this is good. Sometimes while you're waiting for your own dream to come true, God presents you with an opportunity to serve someone else's dream. Joseph, I want you to catch this. Joseph didn't even understand the meaning of his own dream. He didn't even understand how his own dream was unfolding. He didn't understand how Egypt or Potiphar or Mrs. Potiphar or the dungeon had anything to do with his brothers and his father bowing down to him. Yet here is Joseph interpreting the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. It doesn't make any sense. God lets Joseph decipher the details of their dream when he can't even decipher his own dream. See, it's sometimes that way with the Lord. Lord, you've called me to such and such a ministry, but here I am right now serving the ministry of another person. Lord, you've called me to this platform or to that platform, and here I am in the parking lot. Here I am on the lower level. Lord, you called me to the nations, and here I am in Connecticut. Here I am in New York. Listen, just you keep on serving, Joseph, because soon enough you're going to discover that the key to fulfilling your dream was to serve someone else's dream for just a little while. That's good right there. How God uses little faith to accomplish big things. Believe God is still with you. Believe God's light in you is stronger. Finally, this is so good. Believe that God has not forgotten you, even when others have. Believe that God has not forgotten you, even when others have. Joseph interpreted the details of these two men's dreams, even though he didn't understand his own dream. In 3 days, the cupbearer was restored to his position beside Pharaoh. In 3 days, the baker was executed by Pharaoh. Mamma mia. Before he left prison, Joseph asked the cupbearer, "Remember me when you go back to Pharaoh and get me out of this pit." The cupbearer went back to Pharaoh and he totally forgot Joseph. For 2 years, he forgot all about him until Pharaoh had two dreams one night and the cupbearer said, "You know what? I know a guy." Precious friends, don't get discouraged when others' dreams come true before yours do. It does not mean that God has forgotten you. The same God that has fulfilled their dreams is just about to fulfill yours. Let me finish with this. Raising money to build our first building and then to build this building was a slow grind the whole way. While we were raising money to build phase one, our first building, I had a pastor friend call me. His congregation needed a building. They were renters, just like we were renters at the time, and he called me all excited one day. He said, Glenn, you will never believe what has happened to us. He said, I got a call from a man who owns a historic building in our city, a theater, a historic theater. The man said to me, I've thought about your request, and I'm calling you to offer my building on a 99-year lease for $1. Apparently, another church had called the owner of that theater and asked him, inquired about selling the theater at a discounted rate, but the owner had misplaced the information of that church, so he called my friend by mistake. My pastor friend said, sir, I'm sorry, it wasn't us who called you. This is a different church. The owner paused for a long moment. He said, well, do you want it? And they got a beautiful, historic building in a primo location. This is in Darien, Mike, for $1. Have you ever wanted to be happy for your friend? But it's just really hard when you're struggling yourself. I said, that's great. I'm so happy for you. I could cry. I wanted to be happy for them. I really wanted to be happy for them. But I felt like God had forgotten Little Harvest Time Church. A little while after that, another pastor friend called me. Her church needed to build a new building, and she called to ask some questions about our capital campaign. I hooked her up with the coach who had helped us out, and the two of them started working together. And a couple months down the road, I called just to see how things were going, and she said, oh, it went well. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean it went well? She said, oh, we're all done. In 3 months, they raised triple what we had raised in 5 years. It took us 5 years to raise $5 million, and in 3 months, they raised $15 million. I wanted to be happy for them. I said, that's great. I'm so happy for you. I could cry. I really wanted to be happy for my friends, but it was hard not to feel like perhaps the Lord had forgotten us. In Psalm 105, David wrote, listen, this is so powerful. This is the Passion Translation, our friend Brian Simmons. David wrote in Psalm 105, listen, Joseph's feet were bruised by strong shackles. His soul was held by iron. God's promise purged his character until it was time for his dreams to come true. I wonder how long it took for Joseph to realize that that cupbearer had forgotten him. Did Joseph hold on to hope for a week? Did he hold on to hope for a month, for 6 months? I'm sure after 2 full years went by, there wasn't a flicker of hope left in his heart. I'm pretty sure it seemed like Mrs. Potiphar had won and Joseph's dreams were over. But then Joseph heard his name. Joseph. Get up, hurry, Pharaoh is calling for you. Listen, I'm done. The reason that Joseph's dream took a little longer is because God had a lot further for Joseph to go. God didn't plan to just restore Joseph to his position in Potiphar's house. God planned to make Joseph second in command over all of Egypt. God planned to elevate Joseph over the cupbearer, over the new baker, over the prison warden, over Potiphar, over Mrs. Potiphar, over Potiphar's servants, over his brothers, over his father, over everything in the land. So don't get discouraged when others seem to be realizing their dreams before you. The interpretation belongs to God, both theirs and yours. Let the fulfillment of their dreams be a sign to you that you're next. And the reason it's taking just a little while longer is because you have a lot further to go. Everybody look at me. Harvest Time Church here in the sanctuary. Those online, look at me. Listen. From the Lord, Harvest Time Church has a lot further to go. Together, we're going to go a lot further for the Lord. How do I know we are? Because God has shown me in my dreams how God uses little faith in big ways. Believe God, whatever 2020 throws at you, I want to tell you, it's going to get better from here. I prophesy, I tell you, in the name of Jesus, before the end of this year, this place is going to be full. A wave of the Holy Ghost is coming across our nation, around God's world. It's coming to Fairfield County. It's coming to the suburbs of New York City. It's coming to Westchester County. I tell you, we sat empty for 11 weeks, but this place is going to be filled to overflowing, and the presence of God is going to move in this place. Whatever 2020 throws at you, believe God is still with you. Believe His light in you is more powerful than the darkness that we've been living through these last 1 or 2 weeks especially. And believe that God has not forgotten you, even if others do. I want you to take that serving of communion you got on your way in. I want you to stand on your feet. I want you to give the Lord Jesus a great big praise in this place this morning. Come on, would you give Him a good praise? You can't clap with the communion in your hands. I know. Put the communion on the armrest. Hold on. Put the communion on the armrest. Now give Jesus a great big praise in this place. All right, for our final act of worship, we're going to share together for communion. I want to tell you, it was incredibly special on Good Friday evening. Even though we weren't physically together, we had communion together online, and I could feel that the body of Christ was together in the Spirit, even though we weren't physically together. We had communion in the month of May together online. How wonderful it is to be in God's house receiving communion this morning. And for those of you that are online, we're together and God is with us and we're connected in the Spirit. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Let's pray. Father, our world is so broken. Lord, we knew it was broken already, but Lord, coronavirus has reminded us beyond all shadow of a doubt how broken this world is. All around the world, Lord, people are suffering. Lord, our own nation is so broken. Lord, we already knew it was broken, but Lord, the murder of George Floyd and everything that has followed on its heels, Lord, it has reminded us that we are so broken. Lord, we need You so much. Lord, we don't have the answers. Lord, the answers are only found in You. Lord, the answers to our brokenness are found in the broken body of Jesus on the cross. Thank You, Lord, that His body was broken for our wholeness, our personal wholeness. And thank You that His body was broken for our corporate unity. Lord, in Christ, there is no male nor female. There's no Jew nor Gentile. There's no slave nor free. Lord, there is no black nor white. Lord, there's no distinction. In Christ, we are one. Lord, I pray as we receive this communion this morning, Lord, You would just unify our church family. And I pray that You'd make us a light, a very bright light in dark times, Lord, that hope and unity is found in Jesus. Thank You for the precious blood of Jesus that washes away every sin stain. Lord, thank You that when we confess our sins to You, You're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. So now by faith in the cross of Christ, we receive everything purchased for us on Calvary. If your heart agrees with that, would you say Amen and amen. Let's receive communion together. You can receive the bread, and then you can receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. After you've received the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, church, would you just give him thanks? Would you just verbally just give him thanks this morning? Worship him. We thank you, O Lord. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. Take your hand and put it on your heart. Father, I just ask in Jesus' beautiful name that you release faith into the heart of my precious brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that you'd release faith to believe that you are still with us in 2020, that you're still powerful inside of us in 2020, that you haven't forgotten or forsaken us, Lord, and that you have a great plan to use us. Lord, I pray that you'd make us sensitive like Joseph this week. I pray that you'd make us sensitive to others, and Lord, that you'd give us bold faith to speak up, and Lord, as we're directed by the Holy Spirit to just minister, I thank you as we stretch out our hands to offer a word of prayer to people, that you're going to just direct us by the Spirit to exactly what people need, Lord, to open their hearts, to minister your peace, to minister your healing. Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you for watching over your people. Thank you for your presence with us until we come together again. And everyone said amen and amen. Just one moment, we're going to sing and then we can be dismissed. I want to let you know there are containers out in the foyer and outside the doors for your empty communion cups. I will not be with you for the next 2 weeks. I'm going in for a little surgery. This is my third surgery in 18 months to try to correct the same problem. And so we're trusting that the third time is going to fix it. That's actually why I'm sitting on a stool and not standing today. It's a little bit difficult for me to stand on my feet for too long. And so thank you for your patience while I sat and ministered. You know, Jesus sat and taught, so I can sit and teach too. So thank you for that. So I won't see you. Pastor Nick is at the helm. Pastor Faith, Pastor Kimmy, Pastor Kurt, Pastor Anita, everybody's here on deck and they're here to serve you, and it's going to be a great time together. So God bless you. We'll be praying for you. You pray for us. Let's sing, and after you've sung, you can be dismissed. God be with you, everyone. God bless you.
I need a rescue. I need a rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. Shelter, I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you called my name, I ran.
bless you, everybody. Have a great week in Jesus.